Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. At every point, a Muslim must think, how can I correct myself? How can I improve? Around 1982 or so, it was a Friday, and I was walking up this road. So, there was a Qari Sahib, and he started engaging with me. In that discussion, he mentioned two things. I asked him, he used to be residing in Spingo, now he's moved away. He said, what if I see you for Fajr Namaz? So he got angry. He says, you know, when I hear the naat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then my ruh is by the Jali Mubarak, right there. You are talking about these things here, but where my soul is. So Bishara, he didn't understand, he didn't realize that this kafiyat is not the matlub, not the goal. The goal is the action. Many a times you will come to a khanqa, come to, and then they are concerned about these feelings and experiences, see something, feel something, and when they see or feel, if they feel that they are progressing. The actual thing that is supposed to be required, supposed to be acquired, is the action. And the action in conformity with the Sunnah. Feelings come, very good. But if it don't come, it doesn't come your entire life, then there's no harm. But if you missed out some action, some further action, then you've got a problem. So now, when they hear of different people, their experiences, and then someone gets those experiences, someone doesn't go through the experience. The one that doesn't go through the experience, he feels, hey, I lost out. And the one that goes through the experience, you know, I gained. Experience, Allah won't ask you. He'll ask you about the actions. And the experience, after death, everybody will go through the experience. But after death, you don't have the chance for the action. The action is limited to this life. And with death, you see all the experience. In fact, they say that that saintly person who didn't go through any experience, perhaps his maqam is far greater as a person who went through experience. Because the one who has gone through some experience, then he's got some of the reward already. And this person hasn't got anything yet. So everything is accumulated for him in the hereafter. And his reward is greater because, in spite of him not going through any experience, he still maintains the. He doesn't leave that momentum. The momentum just continues. So his striving is greater, and as a result, inshallah, can be expected that his reward is greater. So whether you go through the experience or not, you see something or you don't see something, it's immaterial. Yes, you adhere to the Sunnah. So your experience is greater, or Rasool-e Pasam's teaching is greater. Kya hisiyat? Iske koi hisiyat nahi. So that was one thing. And then the second thing he spoke about, he said, you see, Jannat and Jahannam is just a jackpot. I said, now Qari Sahib, you can't really just cross the boundary. Because The Quran and the Hadith is replete with virtues. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Jannat is for those who have iman and have amal salih, good works. And you saying that no, it's just a jackpot. So if it was a jackpot, then what was the need for Allah to say this? See, there's so many ahadith just about the virtues. The one that comes for the namaz in the dark hours of the night, Allah Ta'ala will bless him with a perfect light on the day of Qiyamah. Bashir al-Masha'in bin Nuri Tam Yom al-Qiyamah. So what does it need? That means all the hadith that speaks about the virtues were really of no effect. So the hadith is making a promise. When there is a promise, then there is going to be a reward for the promise. Promise, there's a reward. Promise, there's a reward. And من أصدق من الله حديثا من أوفى بأهدي من الله. And whose promise can be truer than the promise of Allah Ta'ala? You heard about the big fire that caught on in LA, right? And the insurance companies, they all hands up. We don't have the money. But now they made a promise that they would see their clients in the event of an accident, fire, etc. Now they hands up, because the damage, the extent of the damage, and it's beyond their speculation. They speculated something. The extent of the damage is far greater. So man sometimes, he makes a promise, but he can't fulfill. Sometimes deliberately he doesn't want to fulfill, he wants to cheat the person. And sometimes he doesn't have the capacity to fulfill. He doesn't just have it. What must he do now? So both ways, see. But Allah Ta'ala, is he short of anything? Has he got any limits? إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. By Allah Ta'ala, there are unlimited treasures of everything. Though وَمَا نَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Though Allah Ta'ala sends his blessings, he sends it down in measure and proportion. Right? Talk about rain, talk about plants, talk about grains, etc. Then Allah Ta'ala will grant in proportion. Because, say for example, now the rain came, and it came unlimited. Can man manage to preserve it? Can't. And it is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that he sends it from time to time, according to your need, it's sent down, right? And if it was that Allah Ta'ala's command, see, I'll give you a rain once in a lifetime, you need to sort out the reservoir to see that water is secured. So your quota is 5 million and you need to see that water is preserved. Will it be easy for man? Difficult. So he sends it and he stops, sends, stops, sends, stops, according. So it's easy to enjoy it, easy to store it, and easy to use it. See? Otherwise, there's unlimited treasures with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give. And the same will apply to everything else. Talk of fruit, talk of grains, talk of greens and veg, etc. So Allah gives it, use, and then you will need again, and He gives you a fresh supply again. And you will need again, and again He will give you a fresh supply. Doesn't it happen all the time? Nowadays, the styles have changed, right? The cooking styles, eating styles have changed. Before, in old India, there wasn't the use of tomatoes and potatoes. Right? very, very rare. Potatoes hardly was part of the gravy. And tomatoes also very seldom. Right? But now, any home nowadays can survive without potato and tomato. Every home, every week you need your supply. And you're getting a fresh supply. Well, Lapak said, alright, you see, for this 10 months, you need tomatoes, so take it, look after it. It'll be easy for you to. So it gives you qadari ma'lum in due measure. So you can drink, you can take good care of it. وَنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُمٍ. So, with respect to that, every favor Allah gives it to you in due measure. You can manage it, you can enjoy it, and some you preserve, and some you manage, right? إِن مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. In this preservation plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's several things that come up in the preservation plan, right? One is, it's an efficient way to sustain you. Right? Sustaining you isn't difficult, it's efficient, easy. Right? Number two is, again, when he gives you and holds it, and he gives you and holds it, then you understand that there is a creator, right? He gives and he holds, and he gives and he holds. So he doesn't hold back because he doesn't have it, or na'uzubillah, he's miserly, but that you must look at him again. Ask of him. See the dua that we read. When the dasturkhan is picked up, hamdan kaseeran tayyiban mubarakun fi ghayra makfiin wala muwadda'in wala mustaghnan an rabbana. Why is explained in different ways, but one of the ways that is explained that for the time being we have left this food, Allah, not that we left it because we are abandoning this knowledge. We haven't abandoned this knowledge. We need it. Just now we'll need it again. But we left it because we have got a limit, got a capacity, and we have taken to our capacity. Allah is making it known that we don't abandon this. We aren't ungrateful. We're grateful about it, but just that we've got a capacity, and we have taken to our capacity. In a few hours we'll need it again. So you're showing and expressing your need to Allah Ta'ala at every given moment. At no given moment. So this is something that Allah Ta'ala likes. What I was asking about, La ilaha illa and Subhanallah. So the meanings will be very identical, but then when a tasbih has been prescribed for that moment, then that tasbih will take preference. Like how Tasbih Fatimi, right? So it's prescribed for that time. مَنْ تَعَارَّ بِاللَّيْلِ. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, it says that his eyes opened up at night, right? Now, say it's your time to get up at about 2 o'clock or 2:30, and your eyes open up at, say, 12 o'clock, right? So you still got about 2.5 hours to sleep. So, if someone in that state, his eyes opened up before the time, and he reads the fourth kalima, La ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lahu, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, followed by that third kalima, Subhanallah wa alhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Right? And if he makes a dua after that, Illa ustajiba lahu, his dua will get answered. Such an easy thing. Your eyes opened up, right? And you still want to have a small rest, some few more added wings, right? Have it. But just remember Allah at that time. Fourth kalima, third kalima, and then make a dua. And then if someone wants an additional favor, then make wuzu and read two rakat namaz, then the two rakat namaz will be accepted. Okay. So easy procedures, right? So where the tasbihat are prescribed, then that has to be read, like how you get subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah azim, right? So it's something that's prescribed. When it's prescribed in the words that it's been prescribed, the reward is in the very word that it's been prescribed. Although the mashayikh, when they training someone, then they'll train him up with Isme Saad, sometimes Kalima, sometimes Allahu Allah, right? So they'll train him up. Why? Bizikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. His heart must become very much familiarized. Not familiar, familiarized with the name of Allah Ta'ala. That the name of Allah Ta'ala must come into him involuntarily. When he's thinking or not thinking, but involuntarily, the name of Allah Ta'ala must just flow from his mouth. So they train you up in the zikr, so that zikr becomes your continuous habit. Nabi Sam's way was da'im al-zikr, kana yaskurullah fi kulli ahyani. You should remember Allah Ta'ala all the time. There wasn't a moment where he wouldn't remember Allah Ta'ala. So when a person remembers Allah Ta'ala all the time, then it's unlikely that he'll fall into sin. So then the levels of remembrance will be different. Someone would remember, and the name of Allah Ta'ala impacts upon him straight away. And someone, it impacts with time. Some people say, what's the point of making zikr when there is not the presence of the mind? As Mu'abun Ghaisab rahmatullahi used to say, chahe jis tarah se bhi Allah Ta'ala ka naam ya jaye, to be asar nahi hota. However you take the name of Allah Ta'ala, it will just leave its mark. Whether it's for dhyan, no dhyan, however you take the name of Allah Ta'ala, it must have its effect. So person that is starting off, then he mustn't feel worried now, I don't have the level of dhyan, the focus, and then what's the need of the zikr when I don't have the presence of the mind. Ulama-i Kiram explained that in that state also make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, that from all your limbs, one limb is engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Right? One is for a corresponding effect, that the tongue and the heart are corresponding, right? There's consistency. What's in the tongue is in the mind, right? So that's the advanced level. But if someone is not yet reached the advanced level, then he reached this level also, that's great. See, like for example, the actual idea is to memorize the Quran Sharif, right? But now you go into a hills class and you see the child reading, right? He's memorizing, right? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So as he's memorizing, then he'll break the words. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Doesn't it happen? Yeah. He'll break the words, and then he'll recite. So when he broke the words, will it be without any reward? He's still going to get a reward. Because the repetition is to, in order to memorize it. And the memorizing can happen only in this way, that you break the words, or break the sentence, and then you memorize it. You're going to try to learn the whole verse one shot. يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَاكْتُبُوا وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ. ولا يأبى كاتب أن يكتب كما علمه الله فليكتب. يعني يا أيها الذين آمنوا تدا ينتم. When you see that, he's breaking the words, and then eventually he joins it up, and then reads it. But for that effort that he's put in, though it was a broken effort, but Allah Pak appreciates that. So similarly, person that is doing zikr, right? So initially it's a broken effort, right? But it is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that he crowns it with his blessing. So nobody should feel now that zikr is of no effect. Yes, what you must do is be thankful to Allah Ta'ala that at least he's got that laqlaqa, in other words, remembering Allah Ta'ala but without the presence of the mind. So that also is great. Like in Ramadan now, sometimes it happens that you're doing a lot of tilawat, right? More than usual, right? But I ask you now, when you're doing that more than usual, can you maintain the concentration? Maybe just on the surface you'll just concentrate, but the actual concentration, you can't. So now don't think that tilawat is going without an effect. It's going with an effect. So shaitan plays with people's minds, gives them this type of messages that no experience and you don't know what you're reading, so then what's the need of reading? So only a mad person, mentally challenged person, he will say this. Because the hadith promise you for every word, every alphabet, getting a reward, right? Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah, he says 10 rewards for the person who's reading the alphabet, right? Without wuzu. Without wuzu, then 10 for every alphabet. Alif, then. And 25 for the person who's reading the word with wuzu. Then 50 for the person who reads it with wuzu but sitting in namaz, right? And then 100 for every alphabet for the person who's reading that word but standing in namaz, right? But you see how it just escalates from 10, 25, 50, 200, right? You see how it escalates. So at least you can have that in mind, that this is the reward, this is promised, and it must come. It's a promise and it will come. So you should be having that. And the hadith encourages us to have that. من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. You have the faith in this, and apart from the faith, you have that hope and that longing, Allah Ta'ala, for every word, this is the reward. This is the word, and this is the reward. Not just reading, but the recitation with that longing, Allah Ta'ala will bless me. For every word, and you're getting a blessing, getting a reward, right? Now, sometimes shaitan plays tricks with people. See? Don't worry about rewards, worry about love. So these are all tricks, shaitani tricks, to move you from the cause. One person came to the Mawthani Sahib Rahmatullahi, and said, me, I just need the love of Allah Ta'ala. Don't need Jannat, I don't need anything else. What I need? I just need the love of Allah. I got that, I got everything. Then he comes to Mawlana and says, well, I need to go this place here, I need 10 rands. Okay, bye. You couldn't make sabr for the 10 rand, you wanted, you asking me, how are you going to make sabr of Jannat? Okay, you can't, Jannat is something that you can't resist. It's irresistible. The hadith speaks about the last person that will enter into Jannah, how he'll enter, right? Allah Pak took him out, but he's out near the gates of Jahannam. So he makes sabr, at least he came out. He's the last person that came out, right? So now, he'll have to make sabr from where I was and where I am now. So he makes sabr. Then he'll say, Allah, Adhani, Zika'uha, smoke, and the flames, you know, I can see it, it's troubling me, Allah Ta'ala. Just move me to a safer zone, you know, where I don't get the smell, the smoke, and I don't see the flames. Just move me a little bit. Then cry and cry. And eventually Allah said, if I move you away to a safer zone, then will you ask for anything? I said, Wallah, from this point, nothing, I won't ask for anything. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala will remove him from that point, bring him near a Jannat, right? Now, when he's near a Jannat now, a little bit of a distance, but now he sees Jannat was going on there, and now he can't resist. He's not near Jannat, not near, a little bit of a distance, but he can see some of the fragrance is coming through, you know. Some of the scenery is coming through. Nice, makes sabr. Because he remembers that he said, Wallah, Tallah, Billah, all the oaths he made. But now that the fragrance of Jannat is overwhelming, yeah? Overwhelming, too overwhelming. Hazrat Yahya should say, his one cousin was at the Kabristan putting his brother down in the grave. You know? So he says, the fragrance we got, had I not been afraid of the people around, I would have slept in the grave with him. So the way it captures you, captivates you, you can't resist it. So can you see just the fragrance of there is so powerful, the way it captures you. So now, you know, he's got that fragrance of Jannat now, and he's remembering, I made a lot of qasams and oaths. After some time, like when his sabr is all depleted now, he said, just a little bit close to the door of Jannat. Wallah, after that I would ask him, Ma aghdaraka, what a cheat you are. What promises you made, what oaths you take, and I'm breaking all these things here. So Allah Ta'ala, please, after this I would ask for anything. See, Jannat is something you can't resist. So don't say this, I got so much of love, I just want love. No. It has to be supported. Have that understanding of Jannat, that's the abode. We want to be there, ask for it. Otherwise, why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi recommended one of the things to be asked in Ramadan, As'aluka al-Jannah. Recommended. Also coming with this story. Some isolated case, someone said something in a certain frame of mind, it's a different thing. It's a frame of mind. And the person saying something in a frame of mind, he's not answerable for that. Why? His mind is in a different state at that time. I mean, that mind is in a different state, then he's expected to say something. Right? So, those statements, you can't generalize, and you can't start applying those type of statements. Right? Because it was in a state of mind, in an isolated case. Right? Today there was a question today that came. The Sheikh, or Yunus John Puri, rahmatullahi, the question is asking that he used to combine two namazes, right? Like Maghrib and Isha, one at the same time, right? Now, can I join also? So I had to answer the person, let's see. We have to follow the fatwa. We can't go by isolated opinions. It's an isolated opinion, one person had it. Because of his knowledge, etc., we will not say that, we will not condemn him, right? An ocean of knowledge. So if he had an isolated opinion, then he has the right to do it. Why? He's an ocean of knowledge. So, he's the right because he's an ocean of knowledge. But we committed ourselves to following Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Now if you go on following isolated opinions today, Sunya, then tomorrow we tell you following someone else, and then Tada'i fil Nawafil, and then you're following someone else, what's going to be left? Won't be left with anything. You committed yourself, just follow that, and you don't condemn this person's practice because he's an ocean of knowledge, right? So understand the application, how it applies. Can't just randomly just take, I saw this person doing it, so I'm doing it. I saw this person. Understand how it works, how it applies. Does it apply to me? Doesn't it apply? So now this person is right now. Again, he can't resist. So you brought me right here now. Now after this, I won't ask anything. Just one step into Jannah. That's all. Ma aghdaraka ya ibn Adam. What a cheat you are, liar. Eventually Allah Ta'ala will put him in Jannah. And when he puts him in Jannah, then he says, tamanna, then aspire. He'll aspire, so that you get 10 times what you aspired. So then he's asking Allah Ta'ala, atastahzi'u bi wa anta rabb, are you joking with me? He can't believe what Allah is giving. It's far. See, once you're there, you will get things beyond imagination. لا تعلم نفسٌ ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين. You can't imagine. You can't even think. It's beyond your imagination. So now, this world you can't resist. I will resist that. All the time you're getting this type of question. Yesterday was a question. Girl now, they made some secret nikah. She's in school, her husband is doing some work. Her husband died. So now, two questions, how must I serve iddat? The first thing was wrong, why you went to school? After 9, 12, no school. Stay at home. Now, the thing that's wrong now, for the thing that's wrong, you must sacrifice the iddat. The second thing is now, then will we be paired together in Jannah? Leave all the haram, do the right thing, and Allah Pak wills, will give you. Allah Pak wills. But leave the haram school, all that, right? Now you're of age now, leave all that. Now you come onto the Sunnah and secure his pleasure. When you secure his pleasure, then he will secure your pleasure. What you secure, what he likes, then he will secure what you like. He will give it to you. What is he short of? He's not short of anything. But then see now, how must I secure the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? What does he want of me? And what he wants me to abstain and refrain from? See, do that. Apna kaam karo. What are you supposed to be doing? You are duty bound. Do that. Leave the Allah's work. You do what you're supposed to be doing. Ask, what am I supposed to be doing at any given time? What a beautiful environment it will be. Everybody is just about the Sunnah. In his personal life, in his domestic life, in his business life, in his social life, in his interacting. Shaykh Ramatali, there was something to be distributed. Like how people bring now Ramadan, they bring someone, bring Aleem, something, whatever. So, Hazrat asked one of the attendants, right, give it to all the people that are present. Now, he gave it to all those that were present, and there was some that was left. Now, Hazrat says, Rahmatullahi, but it's just me and you that's left. Now, that was exactly what Nabi Sam told Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira was really, really hungry. Right? No came, everybody. He's thinking, sab ko diya jayega, to mere liye kya rahega? I'm starving, and I have to give everybody. But I have to follow. But if Tigra will give, what's going to be left? And I'm starving at that time. At that time, my stomach was like this, going inside. And the wisdom asked me to drink. Or drink some more. Now the stomach came like this. Before it was like this. Now the stomach came like this. And I think nearly all of us, we examine the stomach, it's like this. See again, relative. One person is telling me that someone showed him on photo some 80-90 years ago, the fattest man in the world. So he saw the photo. Now you see, hey, this was no more this is an isolated case. You go into a mall anywhere, you see 50 people like that. Now when I heard that, I was not too happy about him looking at the photograph. But I said, hey, this conforms with the hadith. Wayas harusim, that you'll see that obesity. See, so 80-90 years ago this was an isolated case. And now that obesity has become common. Every second, third person obese. So, nowadays I have to speak about this thing that by samaj karke khao, eat, that is for you. But understand. Understand what you must eat and what you must avoid. What you must eat and what you must avoid. So, one friend, and he lost about 15 kilos, right? So I asked him, how you manage? Eat only at times, designated times, 6-7 hour intervals, not in between. Nothing in between. Number two, he says, and I took care of the carbs and the sugars. Very sparingly, right? Number three, that was the most exciting diet. Because every other diet you hear on the internet, this one you read. But this was the most exciting one, first time I heard. Then I said, I ate the sunnah style. That means I ate only one third. You know the hadith says one third food. So I applied the sunnah style. Alhamdulillah. And then I do some walking every day, at least what 15-20 minutes. That's all I do. I asked him, but do you feel any weaker? No, I feel much more stronger. Feel tired? No, I feel more energetic. Healthy, energetic. So that's my request nowadays to most of my friends, etc. Why? Samaj karke khao, that food is for you, but now you need to eat that food. That food mustn't eat you up. You need to eat. Don't let that thing eat you. Allah Baktofi Nasir.